DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops at DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the award-winning MG4. The no-compromise electric hatchback with a 450-kilometre range. Recharge your soul.
Community engagement is something that we have spoken about in the past on this show. It's a consistent talking point, really, in the conversation around housing. International protection applicants or Ukrainian refugees. One local authority, though, is doing what they call active community engagement, and it's South Dublin County Council. Alan Edge is an independent councillor in the area and with me now. Alan, you're welcome to the show. So talk us through what is happening there.
So basically, Kieran, we had two initiatives running simultaneously, the first of which was a fact and fiction leaflet, which went out to 55,000 homes in the county, basically just trying to address some common misconceptions around people coming to claim international protection. And then the second piece was the Mayor's Charter, which I led on last year, which was reaching out to various sporting groups and community groups to try and engage them, which we did with great success, just to really get the message across about the fantastic role that people play in our civic life who are in international protection or who are refugees.
So, I mean, how difficult was it to get this up and running, and how difficult was it to settle on what kind of information would be included?
It was easy, really. I mean, so it was a collaboration between South Dublin County Council, the South Dublin County Partnership and the volunteers. And we have in the county a community integration forum. And on that would sit a lot of the service providers who'd be working at the coalface, if you like, with people in international protection. And there was a sort of concern expressed about a lot of volunteers who were doing great work, people who are in international protection, who are volunteering as stewards for St. Patrick's Day, for example, who are doing great work tidying the county and planting trees and stuff. And they were being intimidated to get into their residences when they came back. And that really didn't sit well with us. So we came together, we said we need to do a couple of things. We need to just counter some of the disinformation and misinformation that's out there. And we also need to put forward just the positive case and it really harness the power of those community groups to extend the reach of that message that actually people in international protection aren't a threat and that they do contribute really positively to our civic life.
So how much, say, given the example of how much research might have gone into something like this, you know, in terms of, you know, what would be included? Did you look at the types of misinformation that was there and that's how you decided what information would be there? And how then did you kind of put together the data to dispel some of the misinformation?
Yeah, so there were conversations really around some of the common stuff that was cropping up. And certainly in discussions that we would have had, these were questions that, you know, people in our friendship groups or in our environment would have had. So one example is, you know, one of the senior South Dublin volunteer people, someone said to her, you know, I've no issue with migrants and refugees, but I can't believe they're getting 250 quid a week. And I said, but they're not, you know. So it was just the fact of the matter is they get €38.80 per week for adults. So it was that sort of thing that we wanted to combat. In terms of the amount of research that went into it, we do have representation from the department on the Community Integration Forum. So with a lot of the information, we were, you know, very careful to make sure that what we were putting out was accurate and that, you know, it was based on real figures. So there was a fair amount of work gone into it. I suppose important to say what we weren't doing was tackling head on the sort of conspiracy theories and the sort of massive disinformation. We took the view that you can't really engage face on with that. This was really about the middle ground. This was
so
about
this
people.
Is the kind of how much money they're entitled to. Do they get free houses? Is there an increase in crime type stuff? And not so much the World Economic Forum in Davos has decided to replace the white population of the country type stuff.
That's exactly it, Ciarán. Yeah. And the other thing being, oh, should they come over here? They don't want to work. And the reality is, for the first 6 months, at any rate, they can't work. But they are all dying to work. And you know, the amount of volunteering that they do and the really positive contribution they make is evidence of that. So we just really wanted to get that message out there.
What has been the feedback from the community? Has there been much pushback?
There's been a little bit of pushback, and obviously, I in terms of the whole initiative, myself being the only elected representative, I would have encountered conversations on the doorstep. By and large, it's been positive, Ciarán, and I think that's the thing that doesn't always come through as well, is that there is a silent majority, if I put it that way, who do have, a fairly fair-minded approach to this and see international protection as a fundamental human right, as a question of human dignity. What was really nice was that I had emails from a lot of people who said to me, do you know what, I had some questions and this has been really, really useful. And that was really those were the people we really, really wanted to reach. People who actually, were hearing different things and weren't sure. And, being honest as well, a little bit of a communication vacuum from central government around the issue, which can then be filled by all sorts of nonsense and theories and all that. So we thought it was just important to give people some facts, not hitting them over the head with it, but say, here are some real facts about international protection that may be of assistance.
Do you think that's one of the big mistakes central government have made in their handling of all of this? And listen, they've been under kind of time pressures and pressures in terms of kind of numbers coming in and where to house them, but that they haven't done this, that this has been left up kind of to local authorities or to others or to private entities to try and do.
I think I would love to have seen more communication from central government. And certainly the work that we were doing, speaking on my own behalf, was really to address a deficit that I would have perceived in terms of information coming out. I definitely think, we need more communication. And I think, perhaps local authorities are the way forward. I've had, other feedback from other councils, including counterparts in Northern Ireland, saying, look, we really like what you're doing, and to which I said, go, take it, run with it. We'd love, I would really love to see it rolled out in other local authorities. But yeah, I do think we need more communication. I suppose, in fairness, the scale of the international humanitarian crisis is unprecedented and has maybe caught people unawares. But I do think we're now at the stage where we do need to be communicating better with people.
Yeah, because, one of the features of all of this has been that in these communities, you're going to have a handful of people in any community anywhere in the country who kind of will never want immigrants or people of colour living there. You know, these people exist and that's just a reality of life. And then you've got others who kind of blow winds and seeking to exploit fears. You've got a big rump of people, though, as well, who are kind of just, I don't want to say misinformed. It kind of sounds a bit patronising or something, but who are being subjected to misinformation. Maybe that's a kind of a fairer way to put it. That those kind of malign actors I mentioned, that while they're small in number, they win over people to their side by claiming that, your man here coming in from Syria is getting a free house and he's getting 250 quid a week and he's getting top of the GP list and that's why you can't see your service.
That's absolutely it. You know, there are people, I think, as you say, who would be maybe on the fringes of it, who don't have necessarily strong views or strongly hostile views, who are hearing all of this and saying, oh, but God, if there's a danger or if it's the case that these people are coming in making loads and loads of money, then I would have questions about that. So it's people who maybe are...
But it's actually, in fairness to those people, right, and it's not often I'd say this, it's actually a perfectly rational reaction. If you think about it that way, like as in if you do have a shortage of services and if there's not enough kind of to go around and if there is not enough GPs and you can't be seen, if you genuinely believe that the person coming in gets dumped to the top of the queue, it's actually a rational reaction to object to them coming in then.
Well, and the thing is here, like it's very carefully calculated. I mean, the disinformation that's doing the rounds, it is coming from somewhere. It's very carefully orchestrated, and you can see a lot of it. It tends to portray these objections as being a kind of very centrist. You hear a lot these far right groups saying we're centrist, we're just expressing reasonable concerns. So I think that's a huge issue, that it's very much targeted at the middle ground, and people who wouldn't be outwardly racist or hold those sort of views, but who, when hit with that sort of information, think, my God, well, actually, you know, maybe I do need to think about this. So it's really those people that we would be looking to focus on and say, well, actually, here's the facts. You know, and we're not kind of evangelizing at them. We're just saying these are the actual facts, and you know, make up your mind based on the real information. But yeah, I think definitely it's being targeted at those people, and they're very vulnerable and very susceptible to that sort of disinformation that's being done in a very calculated way. Let's be honest.
Alan Edge is an independent councillor, South Dublin County Council. Alan, thanks a million now for joining us.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the award-winning MG4, the no-compromise electric hatchback with a 450-kilometre range. Recharge your soul.
For almost 40 years, DR Power Equipment has been the go-to for homeowners who want professional-level outdoor power equipment. Whether you're managing acres of overgrown fields or just want to have the best lawn on the block, DR Power has everything you need to conquer your piece of the outdoors. Visit drpower.com today to learn more and shop the sale.